After
we vote on this, I have a question.
Okay.
I would suggest that we all set up a second email address for it, if you just put that.
Oh.
If it comes to the listserv, then we have to have it as the one we have signed up as a listserv.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to ask a question, if I may. Who is responsible for implementing this motion, and are there any technical difficulties involved in implementing this motion?
I can respond to that.
Yes, go ahead.
The motion calls for a working group from the Governance Committee to do it, and we've already consulted with Jonathan. Yes, Jonathan?
Yes.
Confirmed that this is doable?
Yes.
Okay.
Go on.
I'm actually on the list.
Yeah.
I just want to hear a little bit more about it, because I'm looking at maybe some scenarios that might not be good. Like, I would hate for people to post to the list with just rants and just craziness from what else could happen. I mean, you know, I won't even open up that email. I'll just go ahead and delete it. So I want to know if there a monitor, if there a filter, what happens if you just all
to people not to rant and vent to the LSD list. You shouldn't expect something like that. Here's one problem that I wanted to bring up after we passed the motion, since we all seem to agree on it, but I guess I'll bring it up now. We'll all receive an email, right? How do we decide to respond? I mean,
I will say on the PNB, nobody has to, and we can individually.
And everybody can do it?
That seems a little odd, doesn't it? You get an email, a listener sends an email, it goes to the whole board, and then they could get the opposite of what she said. You know,
very responsive.
I mean, I don't really object either way.
We are all individuals and rarely speak, you know.
I mean, we absolutely have to have a way for the public to send us the email. It's not that way because nobody's ordered it.
Most emails are getting very
responsive. Right, you might as well go on the list.
I suggest that anybody who wants to have those emails segregated, just simply open up another email account and give that as the contact for this particular list, so that you only have to look at those emails, incoming emails, to yourself when you wish to. In other words, if you have a special donnalsp@yahoo.com, where all those emails go to, they're not going to flood your inbox or whatever. Maybe everybody says, oh, well, I'm just going to read all my emails. But I know that once an email sent out, all the responses and all, you guys go back to it. You know, and if it's going to the LSD, I'm on the LSD. I feel an obligation maybe to at least, you know, look at it. I think it needs a monitor. I mean, everybody else on the other listeners are filtered. It's not just wall and everything just goes from broke. It needs a little order. And
If a listener wants to send an email to one of us or all of us saying drop dead, they should be allowed to. Or even if they
I'm not saying they shouldn't be allowed to. I'm just saying they should be
I object to my
Okay, yeah. I'm going to have to interrupt this one because one of the people running for treasurer, Vaughn Gibson, she can't stay much longer, so.
Let me finish on the committee report. I'm going to move on from this issue because there's another matter in the governance committee report.
Point of order.
We
are in the middle of a motion.
Yeah, we can't.
So we have to finish this item.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
We do.
Second. Does anyone object?
Motion is passed. Now, if I may just continue with the governance committee report.
Can I make a motion to postpone the rest of the governance report for about 15 minutes? So that we can get our candidates?
No, because the rest of the governance committee report deals with the matter of remuneration for the secretary.
And I'm the one that's getting to the line, and we're going to be like...
Part of the governance committee report is simply that the secretary that we select to this body shall be remunerated at $125 per meeting.
It's remunerated.
And I would like to move...
Point of order, wasn't that tabled last time?
If it was tabled last time, I'm moving to take it off of the table, and I'm moving to put the matter on the table that we pass this motion. It comes from the governance committee that the secretary be paid $125 per meeting, and that is my motion.
Any objections to... Go ahead.
Because as I recall, I think he's right, because the finance committee has come back with $75 for the secretary. The governor has come back with $125 or $150. We never hashed this out because the secretary is the only person getting compensated when all of us do tons and tons of hours. So there's an issue as to how much it is, and if it's per meeting or if it's per month, because sometimes we have double meetings. So I really do feel that we never did hash this out, frankly, between governance and finance, because there were two conflicting motions that didn't get resolved here. So the issue is, are we resolving the compensatory issue? Do we have any, and as for treasurer, because you have it down here, we never agreed to pay the treasurer anything from any of these bodies. So. Well, 75 is what we passed in finance committee, so we've never paid anybody anything. We've all been doing this for free. The problem is the treasurer thing, I still love him to be the secretary. We don't get consistent.
Considering this is not germane to hiring a secretary treasurer, I'd like to call the question on taking on I'm taking this off the table.
One question for clarity, though. Can we decide which body needs to decide? In terms of a committee. As a body, do you guys want this decided by governance or by finance?
Finance.
We'll gladly take it back. And we did make a decision on this, which was $75. We did this
not
6 months
ago. In the governance committee last time, so I don't know where that was coming from.
Okay. Any objections to sending it back to finance for final resolution to bring to the board?
No.
Thank you.
That's on the remuneration question.
Yes. Only on the issue of compensation. We'll set this in stone next month. We'll bring it back and So, what else from governance?
That's it.
Yep.
And Sean, did I forget him?
No, you're right on the money there. Chief Chair.
Should
I make a motion that we bring up the part of the agenda that we postponed?
We're doing that right now.
Good.
Mm-hmm. First of all, we're going to take are there any other, how many people are in the room for secretary?
I'd like to move that we waive FTV voting on this particular case.
Wait, but there's one other person that...
They need to sum up. But the next month will be a meeting, When were these people invited to be at this meeting?
Several weeks ago, right after the last meeting, I invited all of them. I had responses from some saying they'd be here, and they're not here.
They were given time and the day.
They were given time, they followed up.
And I was wondering when place was decided and when they were officially notified where to be and when.
Like
2 weeks ago he was talking about I kind of suggest we vote for the secretary who's been showing up for the last 6 months by acclamation, and then if he's willing to take it based on our finalizing the compensation and finance committee, that, you know, if there are no objections, that we go with the person who's actually in the job.
I second that motion.
So are there any objections to
Doug Barnett being our secretary?
Yeah.
No objections? No objections.
Why don't we
have a conference?
I love that.
Right, so now we're going to move to
we're going to go on to the
treasurer, and I'm going to give besides Rhonda and Summer, is there anybody else here in the room for the secretary of the treasurer?
So when is the sentence?
Hi, my name is Rhonda Jason. I'm an attorney and director of a substance abuse clinic in South Central Los Angeles. I'm one of the co-hosts of Little Bunch of Braves, and I've been working on this program since, I think, 2001. So I'm interested in helping out the state, and I have a number of skills that can, I believe, work. I know in the past that we've had issues with legal fees and possibly encumbering the station to pay off costs, and things like that. I know there's other ways to approach that, and especially when we should really be more actively engaged in risk management. When you hire outside counsel, what I do for my clients is I contain those costs, because I know from I've been on both sides of the spectrum of hiring attorneys as well as being the attorney. And when you are the attorney, you think there's money there, and then there's some unnecessary expenses that could possibly be incurred. And also there's some strategies that could be employed that could save money. They may go for the strategy that's going to actually cost more money because it's more money to the firm. It's not going to be effective, but it's not maybe cost effective for you, and it may get you to the same place, but you could also have done that a lot less expensively. So that's what, I would like to be the treasurer. This is what I'm putting myself up for, because I want to be able to serve the board and serve the station, and I've been doing that since 2001.
Do you know how much time is involved in what you're going to have to do as treasurer?
Yeah.
Well, when I'm sitting here thinking about it, I wasn't considering that.
I'll tell you seriously, what it involves is okay, because it sounds like you schedule the monthly, we take care of scheduling for the rest of the year, but the monthly finance meeting at the station, the LSB meeting here, and what really sucks the life out of you is the teleconferences with the National Finance Committee with all five stations reviewing budgets for the next 6 months. And in a good month, they're only twice a month for 3 hours per phone conference, and last year during budget season, they went like once every week for a while until you were like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing another teleconference. So, I mean, I did the calculation, it's about 5 full work weeks per year of uncompensated hours. Okay, never mind driving and time. Nobody's going to compensate you for your cell phone if you're out there. So that's the job. And you have to really, like, be prepared for when you're, like, hating life. Like, oh, my God, I still have to be on that teleconference. And I occasionally miss one, but it's really, that's where your time is. And they don't get scheduled ahead of time. Like, that's why we schedule the local finance committees ahead of time now. So we know when they're happening. Where sometimes we'll just be like, okay, so what's a good day for everybody next week? We're going to talk on Thursday, you know. So that's the.
Time
to get it
during the day?
No, normally it's 5:30 hour time, because it's 8:30 Eastern time, and they go about 3 hours. So it's usually like 5:30 to 8:30 on a weekday, like a Tuesday, a Thursday, a Wednesday. It depends. So Tuesday's frequently.
I had 18 hours of this week, so.
I want to.
But not as fun.
I know there's somebody's telling me about the time commitment. But I didn't hear what the duties of the treasurer were. What's expected?
Well, besides that, you have to review budgets. You're going to get emailed tons and tons of budgets from all the stations, from the national.
I didn't say this outright discouraged her.
No, but it is daunting, which is one of the reasons I kind of like doing it. You know what I mean? But on the other hand, I'm like, yeah, I have a kid. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody else really wants to take this on for the rest of the year, I'm cool. You have to review budgets. You have to review our budget. There have been several sticky issues budgetarily over the last year where, you know, you have to get in there and argue out your points for your station as well as the good of the network. But if you feel like, you know, the station is getting compromised, you know. So you have to be actively engaged, and there's a lot of back and forth. And, you know, like everything else, you can choose how much email you're participating in. Because the National Finance Committee, it adds an entire another, like, it's like being on another entire committee board. It's a whole.
You were talking about the responsibilities of the treasurer in their capacity as a member of the National Finance
Committee. Yes, I guess that's where I really feel the pain more. That's why I was like sort of going into it more, because, you know, I mean, our station, we kind of got it down like fairly smoothly in terms of dealing with our business manager and getting reports.
What are the local responsibilities?
The local responsibilities, scheduling the meeting, carrying the meeting, figuring out what your agenda items, reviewing our monthly financials, the income statements. I mean, you know, going through a budget every month and seeing if there's anything jumping out at you. If there, you know, we pass motions on all sorts of different things, cost saving issues, things. You know, we kind of pass motions just to pass motions, but if there's something where we're like, hey, this is a really good idea and it should come from finance, you know. I like to think we're a very functional committee, actually, and fairly peaceful and kind of small, so it's not bad enough. So.
Not quite finished that. One more question for Summer.
Yes.
Reese, and that is kind of, you know, indicating, do you want to do this job, or are you happy to have it done by somebody else?
It kind of depends on the commitment level of the person wanting to do the job. That's why I'm sort of being honest. I mean, if you think 3 months from now, when you're in the middle of approving budgets for all of the stations, and it's August and you're doing this every week, if you're really down for all of that, then I'm happy to pass on the mantle. If you think you're going to hate it and just like being like, I don't want to do this in the middle of the summer, then I will continue. And
okay,
I'm used to it. Do you know what I mean? By now, I've got sort of it down dealing with the people.
My final question is to amplify the question asked by Summer, are you down for all of this?
Well, go be encouraging.
Before she answers the question, can I just add one thing that may sway you one way or the other? There is a daunting task, but you are very lucky to have somebody like Summer to help you acclimate yourself to all this. And I take it, Summer, are you going to stay on the committee?
Yeah, I put that on my candidate statement when I ran. I'll serve on the finance committee. So, yeah, I would probably stick around. I already told that to the business manager. What it would do is I would be going to local meetings and not doing all the national finance calls, and you'd have to be on all those. You've got to get to know who everybody is and where they're coming from and what they're talking about. And those meetings are on like any other meeting sometimes. You know what I mean? It's, you know, that's why they're 3 hours long.
So that is a great help. That would be a great help to you. The shorter six in on you.
But people talk about it.
It's two from each signal area and the national office and the affiliate. So it's, what is that? 12 to 14 people and some P&B people sometimes, you know, are listening in or will ask questions. But it's basically like 10 people.
That's not national finance.
Yeah, which is all telecom.
It's only just 10 people.
Is it 10?
Yeah.
Maybe 12 at the outside, but there's never 12 people on. The local committee, sometimes have trouble keeping our quorum together, you know what I mean? Because we only have about 6 to 8 people at a time, you know. Part of it, too, is we accommodate the fact that our business manager, two of our finance committee members, and the general manager are all in the building Monday through Friday during daytime hours. So we have every 3 months an evening meeting because that's a real inconvenience for the staff, and the other two meetings we do daytime meetings. So it's, you know, 8 daytime meetings and 4 evening meetings a year on the local level. We meet at 1 o'clock, and that way we can, you know, buzz back in and out, business office, get things, say, hey, can you track down this thing? What's this line item? Let me go talk to so-and-so. So anyway, so that's the on the local level. Hey, I got scared once I was doing it.
Well, we still got the question on the table. Are you down for all?
No, I have a limit
your background as an attorney will be very helpful on the National Finance Committee. The legal matters related to tickets are dealt with by the national, on the national level. What experience do you have in finance?
Well, I could be invited in the cost report to my agency. The funding source is Medi-Cal, and as you know, we get audited all the time. As a matter of fact, every time I ask for money, I have to justify it with a cost report in the budget and have to be amended to fit, you know, however much money that we have. You know, basically you end up, when you're working with the government, you provide the service first for about 90 days. Mm-hmm. And then they decide whether or not they're going to reimburse it. And then you fight with them about that. So basically, I'm cost reports and budgets I'm doing all the time. Pretty much every 3 months, we have to amend our budget.
Okay, and the other question I have is, it would probably take you at least 10 to 20 hours to catch up to speed on the national level as well, because, you know, a lot of things that the treasurer is picking out in January, I guess. And so, do you have the time to kind of catch up to speed on some of the national stuff?
Well, right now, coming into the summer, and our fiscal year ends June 30th, so we usually have a lag time until about August, maybe September, when they start the contract again. All of our contracts end June 30th and begin July 1st, and it takes you 2 months to actually get going after that. So, summertime is not exactly a busy time for me, per se. My staff is already up to speed on what they need. There's not a lot of moving parts. The only issues are for me that I need to interface with government and different people like that to make sure that we get all the benefits and things that we need for you.
Well, it's like last year, the budget thing will go straight through until the new fiscal year in October. That's sort of how it went last year. I mean, we were...
Mm-hmm. No, I think we did
October. Yeah. Which is weird. I mean, that's an odd time for it. You're the second person to say that this week. They're like, we can't,
it's on
what
we're not saying.
That was November.
That's what I remember from last
year.
Make
a call out for replacement treasurers. I think at the beginning of the year I would just run for treasurer again. Does anybody here want to do it? And then that happened, and it's taken 6 months to get where we have any applicants. I'm happy for other people to participate. I do feel like I kind of know the ropes of dealing with the National Finance Committee calls and our budgets. And, you know, I mean, like, you know, you're a little better, the wheels are better greased a year later. We're like, okay. I'm happy to continue doing it for the rest of the year. But I'm equally happy to step aside if there's someone else who really wants to take on what's involved, and I feel it's a bit daunting. So, you know what I mean? So I'm not like, you know what I mean? I'm perfectly happy to stay on as treasurer, but I...
Are we also going to have time to hear from Summer?
I'm fine to be replaced, but I'm also not standing away from what they want to do the job.
My question is, how much time does this take? Is this going to take weekly?
Well, I get it.
I'm sorry, you can't answer that.
I'm a little
bit, a lot. I mean, what is a lot?
No, we're talking like sometimes it's 4 meetings a month of 3 hours or more to any of the local meeting. You can drive to the stage before. You've got the LSC meeting where you have to report out, and I'm already here, so that's kind of free.
Right?
And the phone conferences, on the good months, they're once every 2 weeks. On the bad months, they're every week, and sometimes more than once a week when we report out. Well, there are hours you got to review budgets, you got to read stuff, you know. I mean, I find that a kickdown is about 5 full work weeks a year. It's about 200-300 hours per year. Not counting like transportation, you know, just 200-300 hours a year just on it.
You said all that already.
Yeah.
I know it's a lot of time.
I'm lucky, by the way. I wanted to, I don't know how to say this as a question, but I would like to start out with a comment. As I'm sure you're aware, the network across the board is in a serious financial crunch. No secrets there. I'd like your thoughts about that, whether you see this as an opportunity to be involved at the national level, given the foundation's financial problems. Whether you see that as a challenge, whether you see that as an insurmountable obstacle, how do you feel about, and what is your gut response to this crisis in Mississippi?
My response is that was the reason why we decided to run. I saw a chain of emails coming through about encumbering our building and different things like that. And I was like, why are these things even being considered? I mean, this is only going to put us into a bigger hole. And it's going to cause a crisis, maybe, you know, not on our watch, but a few years later, it's going to be another insurmountable crisis. There's other ways to deal with it. And there's some more proactive things we can do as far as promoting and fundraising, and maybe you know, when we were talking about another thing that concerned me was hiring a consultant. What is a consultant? You know, somebody that calls himself an expert. And if you can buy that they're an expert and pay all this money, then that's what they're worth. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's somebody who persuades you to do something. And, you know, how do you know if they're going to be effective? And the consultant they were considering had never worked in radio stations and never shown a proven track record of turning around a radio station before. There's some definite different issues here. That just because someone's a public relations firm doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to be able to handle this particular issue. It may not be an area of expertise for them. We need to start thinking outside the box. We've operated basically the same way for many years, and maybe it's not cost-effective. Maybe we should have been able to meet that $50,000 grant without giving it back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my idea always is when there's money on the table, take it up right away. It's going to set up. You know, when I was going to go to the entertainment business, I would always tell my clients, as soon as they say there's X amount of dollars, let's close the deal now, because they might change their mind. You know what I mean? And they do. And so, you know, this is the type of thing that we should not let pass, and someone should be alerting, you know, this is something we need to jump on this right now. We need $50,000. We need $50,000, and then we need to get into that. That shouldn't have happened. So, just the whole consideration about hiring consultants, different things like that, the way we structure those deals, we have a lot of infrastructure that we do. Construction litigation needs to be one of my forces. We have infrastructure that has to be improved, that hasn't been improved in years. We may want to look at who we want to hire as far as maybe strategically hiring someone that works at nonprofits to restructure a board, to restructure fundraising, things like that, to get us more involved in the industry with different people. That might have been a better way to go, but, you know, we need to be really cautious with how we spend our limited money, you know, and really when we get some grants, we need to make sure that we implement those and not let that money go away. Thank you.
I'm going to have to leave soon, so I'm not sure how much longer we have on this particular thing. But it does seem to me as though we're always looking to involve people in KPFK. And when people are ready to come on board and give us time, et cetera, we should really shout and hallelujah. You know, it seems to me as though this candidate is very, very well qualified. She's also been volunteering, you know, at the station. She's familiar with KPFK, clearly dedicated to KPFK. And frankly, when we look around the table and look at who turns up to the meetings, I mean, it's, you know, it's very slim. So I would, you know, welcome Rhonda. I appreciate the service of Summer and know that, you know, you work very, very hard and clearly are willing to pass on the mantle if somebody's stepping forward. But I'm speaking in support of it simply because I'm always delighted when there's somebody new, but not only new, but seems to be well qualified, you know, to do this kind of job, to come in and basically volunteer all kinds of time to help them move us forward. So I would hope that we could move forward in a good way, that Ron and Summer, you know, obviously could work together and pass information. And you know, let's welcome new blood. We need it.
And what I would say to Summer was, I do appreciate that you've worked really hard and it is a very big responsibility. And I hope to be able to work with you.
Of course. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I see. I did have one thing to say, though, on the digital conversion grant, things like that, they have nothing to do with the finance committee. We don't have any of that power, okay? We only get the power to say, this is what's here, this is what we should be doing. The management makes those decisions. You know what I mean? Like, giving back that money, there's nothing to do with the finance committee wants to see anything get converted or give back the money. We are really, in a fundamental sense, being counters. We have to stand up from time to time and say, whoa, no, you're absolutely not doing that, like, you know, putting a loan on the building or something, and keeping track of whether the stuff makes sense.
Well, I wouldn't suggest that it's your fault at all.
We do have input
from the finance committee, but I know it had to be implemented, but I just suggest that we should attend at the board screaming more about, hey, we have $50,000, and there's no way that
that's
even
known. Point of
information.
On this particular grant.
No, it's
accepted.
Sure.
Sorry, that particular grant was a matching grant. In other words, we had to come up with $50,000 to receive it. And then due to our financial burden at this time, we can't afford $50,000 burden based on the digital conversion, which is something that we don't even know if we're going to implement. So it wasn't just $50,000 sitting there that turned down. It was a matching grant.
Yeah, just a very small question just on earlier. Does it matter at all whether this is a strictly volunteer job for you or some compensation? Would that be a factor in your
case? Well, I know it's a volunteer job.
Yeah.
Okay, that's okay with you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a non-volunteer.
Purposefully?
We've already tabled that. And there is no compensation for the treasurer's position.
I just wanted to point out that, you know, that was actually a great comment from Ollie about, you know, sometimes it looks like you have money in the wings when in fact that's like, you know, pie in the sky money because we're never going to be able to get $50,000 to do it. And actually there's a question when it comes to issuing a digital conversion whether that's actually a benefit because it actually lowers your signal radiation effectiveness. So in fact, when we go to digital, we will be losing the outer ring of our patent or equipment, and that would include probably parts of stuff in San Diego, et cetera, just because of the way digital works. So, and I'm personally against digital conversion generally, and specifically, you know, if it's not the stations are being forced to do all this without money from Congress or whatever, who are mandating it all, then, you know, taking it down.
I'd like to move that we vote on this.
Yeah.
And
well,
really
we can't vote because we haven't heard from the other candidates.
Yeah. If the other candidates aren't here,
we're taking it kind of easy going because this isn't like a dog. I'm incumbent. But all of them would come and have experience, yada, yada, yada. I mean, I'm happy to continue as treasurer. You know, I felt, you know, there were crucial periods during the last year at the national level with the loan and everything where, you know, I felt like it was important to, you know, standing up for what I thought was right in terms of protecting the state. And lo and behold, we are still in business 7 months later, and we're not further in debt on those issues nor paying back the national office. So, you know, so basically it's just the experience of last year and a half is, you know, and I'm dedicated to doing it. I show up for the meetings, you know. So I'm happy to serve for, you know, the rest of the year as treasurer. However, if everyone would like to give her an opportunity to serve as treasurer, I'm equally happy to allow that to happen. So I think you should just use your own judgments on whether, you know, you think the fact that, you know, I know who all the people are on the National Finance Committee. I mean, you're committing you to what's going on and getting your feet wet, and we do have a new business manager, so I do feel it's a bit of a transition issue with getting him sort of synced in with what we're doing with the Finance Committee. But I think you should just vote on your own judgment in terms of, you know, whether you want new blood or you want the experienced blood, and I'm happy with whatever decision the body makes. So, okay?
Considering how much time the same takes, does it make any sense
for
you to be like co-people?
Well, we wouldn't be co-people. I've already made a commitment to serve on the Finance Committee. If we lose committee bodies from the Finance Committee, we will not have a Finance Committee, and I'm used to dealing with everybody at the station and the business manager. I know the report, so I would think, you know, we wouldn't be co-people because I won't be allowed to be on the National Finance Committee calls anymore. I'm not a TND member if I'm not the treasurer. I'm not on the National Finance Committee. End of story. You know what I mean? That's the end. I no longer vote. I no longer participate. I no longer even ask questions. And if it's a confidential session, I won't be even here. So that is, you know what I mean? The treasurer is the person. So it's not duplicative of that effort. It means I'm not on the National Finance Committee anymore. She would be on the National
Committee. Would that break your heart?
It wouldn't break my heart. You know what I mean? I think there's a tug of war. You know what I mean? I have a personal life with a child and time commitment, and so I'm like, wow, I spend a lot of time dealing with Pacifica stuff. But there's also the, gee, I'm already invested and I know all this stuff and it's really important and wow, it's critical, so do you want, you know what I mean? So I'm really, you know what I mean? I really, honestly mean, I will leave it to your decision because I'm happy to continue. I feel it's really important, but I'm...
So you'd still be the finance chair?
No, it would be the finance chair. No, that's what I'm saying. I would just become a member like Doug and Marla and Jonathan. And I would just be a person who comes to finance committee meetings. I wouldn't schedule things. I wouldn't create agendas. And I would try to facilitate what she was doing. We kind of were very... We're very cooperative with each other. We have no real, I mean, the Finance Committee. We talk to each other. We reach consensus. We say, do we need that information? We go get it. We really never get into dogfights.
I think we need you at government.
Well, thanks. But I like the peace and quiet of the Finance Committee. You know, we look at numbers. We talk to each other. We find out what more information we need, and we gather it. So, you know, so, I mean, it's not duplicative in that sense. It's a replacement entirely, and I would, like, you know, just revert to a Finance Committee.
But we could have a vice chair.
My least favorite part is scheduling stuff, which is why I just did it for the whole year. The duties that fall to the vice chair are the things I like least. I don't mind being in the long discussions as much. I say, wait a minute, whoa, I'm going to vote no on that motion. You know what I mean? It is, in fact, some of the house cleaning stuff where I'm like, gosh, I'm going to get this out of the way for the rest of the year so it just runs like clockwork and everybody knows what's going on. So.
I would just say that, I have a motion for vice chair, and I have a it's great that we have this struggle of two people that have seem very competent and continue to do this job that pays
nothing.
It's a great problem for us to have, but it is a problem. I'm wondering, if perchance you didn't get the job as president, would you still be willing to work on the Finance Committee in some capacity, knowing that you have been following the problem of the station and you know the crisis that we're dealing with and the lack of resources we have, both paid and unpaid? Would you still be willing to be a part of this in some capacity?
Yes, I would. That'd be fantastic.
Thank you.
Okay,
Well, Summer, I'm just wondering.
Can I move that we vote on this?
No, I think they get a couple questions out.
I'm just wondering, Summer, what you're going to do with all of this extra time. I know that idle hands are the devil's playground. Is this going to cause a problem in your life? All of this free time?
I'm not supposed to
I agree with you, Margaret.
Let me start.
Is this
a good time there?
No, I have a question, Margaret.
Okay.
Is it possible to have a chair and a vice chair so that if the chair's not there on the national
floor? No, it does not work that way.
Vice chair.
It does not work that way. You are the treasurer or you are the PNB delegated person. That's it.
I move to call the question.
Good.
Second.
So are we going to say FTV or is your piece of paper going to pass out?
No, it's just Margaret.
Can we just pass out a piece of paper?
I said the final vigorously to my position, but I really do feel it. And I'm willing to continue. I'm willing to call it up.
All right. Is there any objection to Terry being our teller?
Never.
Okay.
We love you, Terry.
No, you're right.
He'll be our election man.
He's on the board. He's in touch with him.
Program Council, there was almost a full year of wrangling over were the delegates for the actual members of the council legal or not. So please make the conditions under which they are members of the programming council, whatever it is, clear and you know, possible to satisfy, so that you don't end up wrangling. And also be very aware that a lot of people come to program council thinking they're going to get their program on the air that way, by both advocating for us and controlling the vote to change programs. So, you know, that's the hidden agenda that you always have to protect against. The other hidden agenda is that we don't want, specifically we want, the programming to be independent of government, you know, which also be a corporation for public broadcast and demand. And in the sense that programs are also part of the government structure, they have what I would call an unfair advocacy position in order to bring forward their own specific concerns around their own programs and programs of their friends and patients. So that's another thing to consider when constituting the program, to balance those forces out a little bit. Because already programmers, people, I mean, I'm not to take them anything, but you do have to have programming people from the station involved, just to have the liaison with the station at ground level. But the whole idea of a community advisory board and a programming council is to maintain a live and constant connection with community organizations and that are valid, and also with listeners, because many of those same listeners are the members of those community organizations or the actual, you know, volunteers at either for programming or for other things that the nation really needs to handle. So don't turn them off by telling them to come out of the programming council and then not listening to them or just, you know, throwing them off because they are qualified.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you. Can I move on? Just want to get the ballot before the next question. Yeah, I just want to get the ballot, because then we can hear you and he's not walking around and he can be counting while we listen.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'd like to pretty much graduate with the participation.
Okay,
my name is Omar Burdett. I'm a volunteer at our beloved station. You know our station. I want to graduate with for his efforts to reach out to the community of, you know, community of LAPC plus Free Tech School in downtown Los Angeles. The reason is because we're at a very dire strait when it comes to school funding and students in general. Even yesterday, you know, all the organizations decided to pretty much take the deep advantage of the opposition of cutting back school funding service, right? And this is pretty much the perfect timing, you know, for us to reach out to the students, you know, and this is very important, you know, once we stay in touch with the academia of our community. And with that in mind, I want to say that we ought to reach out to you as we go along in the journey.
Thank you.
Any other comments from the public?
My name is Mr. Chair.
Yes.
We did not form the working group to research and set up the training at the station.
Isn't that needed for the next meeting or something?
When you form a committee, you have to populate that meeting.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Okay, I think, haven't we done this before? You're talking
no.
There.
We all could raise our hands and volunteer.
That's all. I'll volunteer. I'm just getting it.
Wait a second. That's not on the agenda for today. We can bring it up in a committee report.
Robert's rules require
no.
It didn't work that way last year. It took us months to populate committees that were
not
called. Months.
Tony Bates has been hired. I hired Tony Bates, who was our volunteer coordinator at KKK, to move over to WBAI on a temporary basis to help them out. That's been extremely successful. Currently, the fund drive income has improved by 30% or more per day, on the average
right.
per day. So that's about $8,000 extra a day.
Yeah. Yeah. So
which means that I really feel that this really shows that WBAI can be saved. There's a lot to be done there. There's a lot of upside in WBAI potentially. I think it's extremely, the functionality is extremely poor there. But because of that, I think that there can be 15 to 20%, a very conservative estimate, improvement in revenue there just by improving the functionality. We're losing a lot of income because the phones simply are not answered when people are trying to donate.
Right.
The phone system is broken.
Yeah.
There are literally thousands of things that have not been mailed out, which is decreasing their potential revenue. So once these things are straightened out, I see a 15 to 20% increase in revenue just from improving efficiency and functionality, and another 15 to 20% improvement when we improve programming, which is also going to be done. So I think that WBAI can be fixed. that needs to be fixed, and we're well on our way to doing that. I'm very proud of the team that went there. I want to thank KPFK, thank Ollie Lester, and Jonathan Alexander, who left, but they did a fabulous job, and Tony Bates, assessing the situation. It made it much easier for LaVon to go in and figure out what to do. So that station is well on its way. It's not at zero anymore. It's above zero. The programmers are a lot better morale there. So that is a huge, I think, a huge accomplishment for a lot of different people have participated in that. That's one thing. The next thing is we hired a national election supervisor, Russ Radke. The election cycle is starting now. We need a local election supervisor here. Please do all the outreach you can, because we need to hire one very quickly. He's a no-nonsense person who's very fair and objective, not going to take sides, not going to play around, but will ensure that the cards get on the air. We're paying a little bit more than in past elections. I think it's going to be something between $2,500 and $3,000 a month, which is a kind of a decent salary. It's a little bit better than it was in the past for local election supervisors. So please do the outreach. We've got to hire one for the next week or two.
I'm making the call for you.
Thank you. And the last thing I think is that there are going to be a lot of courts running in the nomination period. Each programmer has a show that an hour or more a week needs to do a 15-minute tutorial about the election. That will give a chance for the fairness of every programmer to talk about the election, how people can nominate themselves for the board. And so we're going to concentrate on that. The script is going to be out either on Monday or Tuesday for that. Les Ratchy is trying to get a tutorial done by, I forgot her name, but also Roseanne Blar agreed to do a tutorial that can be aired at other stations. But in case the programmers don't want to do one themselves, we're encouraging programmers to just simply talk about the election for 15 minutes. They can talk about it for 5 minutes and open the phones if they want. But that's going to be mandatory that every programmer needs 15 minutes to talk about the election, record it, air it again, or just do another segment of 15 minutes long. That's in the national election policy that was passed at the in-person meeting at the end of April. And I guess that's about it. You can look at all these things. They'll be posted on the Pacifica.org website, including the RFP for the request for proposals for the local election supervisors, and also there's a RFPs out for the executive director, the chief financial officer, and a permanent HR director, I believe.
Yeah, I had a couple here. First off, during the last election, insiders knew about how to send out mailers to the listenership. People who came in who were not insiders were not instructed or did not have that information available to them unless they had read the bylaws, which was not passed out to candidates, as I understand it. So that seems to be a problem, and I would hope that that's been addressed. Secondly, last time during the election cycle, there were on-air violations of election broadcast policy by programmers. And so it is troubling to me that the programmers who violated the fairness of our last election by advocating for candidates, by denigrating some candidates, by implication endorsing others, that in fact that these kind of things might be furthered by these 15-minute tutorials. There's an election policy that everyone is supposed to sign on to, that they're not advocating on the air for candidates or for positions or whatever. And yet, this seems like a perfect opportunity for people to do so when the past has shown an inclination. So if we have a local election supervisor, are they going to be able to suspend people for violations of that policy? And is there going to be any review of these tutorials to make sure that what's being said on the air is even-handed and is not, saying, well, there's these crazies out here, so that's why I need my listeners to run, which is what people have been saying in the past.